The scripture today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead."
This is Transfiguration Sunday in the church liturgical calendar. You should be duly impressed that I'm actually in the church liturgical calendar this week. It happens so rarely. Jesus took Peter and James and John on a trip up a mountain. They were his best friends. They really were. They were the closest to him. If you read all of the gospel narratives, Peter and James and John were the closest, most trusted disciples. I want you to think for a moment. Think about your closest friends. Think how many people do you have in your lives that you could call at any time and they would be right there for you. Those trusted friends, they might have been friends of yours since you were a child. You might have met them more recently. But think about those closest friends in your life. Jess Lehrer, in his little book a long time ago, and I love the titles of his book. One was, "I Ain't Well, But I'm Getting Better." The other one was, "I Ain't Much, But I'm All I've Got." And he says in this book, we need a few friends in this life. Say 3 to 5 friends whose faces light up when we enter the room. Do you have friends like that? Sure you do. That's who was with Jesus that day, were his closest friends. When they got up on top of the mountain, Jesus was transfigured. What on earth does that mean? It says his face shone like the sun. His garments became white as light. In one of the other passages, I believe in Mark, it says that his garments became whiter than any fuller on earth could get them clean. There is another notable instance of this same word and the same usage in the Bible. You know what it is? It's when Moses was coming down off the mountain. You remember the people couldn't stand to look at him. He was day glow. He glowed so bright that they had to avert their eyes. And Jesus, the same thing happened to him. It's called, and it's a word that you all know. I know you have because you've heard it before. And that word is, oh man. You did so well on Shalom Aleichem. You're going to kick yourself because you're going to remember this word as soon as I say it. Shekinah. Oh, now, yeah. It's God's glory. God's glory got all over Moses, and in this passage got all over Jesus. It literally means that he shone with God's light. He was changed. He was transfigured. Question. Now, how have you been changed by God? Ooh, that's personal, isn't it? You don't have to shout out. Can people see God's influence in your life when they look at you? When they look at you and what you've done, do people see a little bit of God in you? How has the glory of God, God's Shekinah, been reflected in your life? If those sound like thoughtful questions, it's because we're entering a thoughtful period in the church, isn't it? We are entering the season of Lent. You remember that word Lent really comes from an old English, Middle English word for lengthen, when the seasons lengthen or the days lengthen. But we're entering a season of self-reflection. Spend these 40 days thinking about that question. How has God changed me? Then Moses and Elijah appeared to them and talked to Jesus. What? Wow. What does that mean? I mean, the scripture writer was talking about that Jesus was somehow the fulfillment of both the law and the prophets. Moses, the giver of the law, Elijah, the prophet of old, came to visit with Jesus. The law and the prophets were all important to Jews, weren't they? They built their lives around ascribing to the law, listening to teachings from the prophets. They lived their lives trying to obey all of the laws of their faith and trying to understand what the prophets foretold. It was all important to Jesus. And from the outside looking in, it looked like Jesus flaunted all of this, didn't it? How many times in the New Testament do the serious Jews get on Jesus about how he has flaunted their religion? You have broken the Sabbath. You have healed on the Sabbath. You have picked grain on the Sabbath. In this passage, the followers of Jesus were now sensing that he was the culmination of all they had ever been waiting for and had hoped for. Here in this Jesus of Nazareth was the law living, were the prophets living. Then Peter, James, and John did what all good church people want to do. They formed a building committee up on the mountain. I'm guessing Peter was the chair of that building committee. And they said, Jesus, we're going to build three booths. We'll start with a small sanctuary and fellowship hall and perhaps a gymnasium. And one will be for you, and one will be for Moses, and one will be for Elijah. And that way we can be up here on the mountain and everything will be just peachy. That's an Old Testament phrase. They wanted to stay up on the mountain, didn't they? Where were their problems? Down there. Their problems were in town. They were having a tough time. They wanted to stay. The air was clean. You know, sometimes we make that same mistake, don't we? They wanted to insulate Jesus and the church and kind of keep him neat and clean and up away from all the hoi polloi, the people that bother him constantly. Up here, he could think and he could dream and he could come to these grand conclusions about the meaning of life and the universe. Keep Jesus up where it's safe. There was a story about if I've told you this story before, don't interrupt me. It'll just confuse me. It was about a church, an old downtown church in a major city. And its pride and joy was this huge statue of Jesus. And it was him as the good shepherd. He had a lamb. And the church caught fire. When the firemen showed up, the first thing that the rector did was run out to them and say, "You must save Jesus." So they got all of their firefighters, and it was a heavy statue, and got in and got Jesus out of the building as the building burned. And then they tried to put out the fire. One was heard to remark as they got Jesus outside, "Well, at least finally they got Jesus outside of those doors where he belongs." Can't keep Jesus bottled up. Even here on a Sunday morning, we are not safe from Jesus, are we? The joyous revolutionary. We might be inspired to do something that is a tad bit dangerous. They wanted to insulate Jesus and the church from the mess that was the world. Jesus would have none of them. And then a voice came to them. A voice from heaven said, "Listen. Do you have any kind of reverb up there in the mic deal that you can kind of make this sound a little more like God? Listen to my beloved, my son." Oh, thanks, Bill. Good advice, though, wouldn't you say? Listen to my son. What does Jesus tell us? As usual, these are never rhetorical questions. This is the evidence of an unfinished sermon. Help me out here. What does Jesus tell us? Love one another as I have loved you. What else? Feed my sheep. What else? Go. Yes, go into all the world. What else? Yes, unto the least of these you've done it to me. That's what Jesus tells us. They were filled with fear when they heard that voice from heaven. The universe can be a scary place. Can be a scary place. Jesus told them, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted their eyes, I love this little snippet of passage, they saw no one but Jesus. They saw no one but Jesus. All of everything we do here during Lent is to lead us to this same place that they were. We saw nothing but Jesus. Then they came down from the mountain. Jesus had squelched their grand building plans. They halted their committee meetings. And they came down because there was work to do. Jesus would heal and feed. Jesus would teach and exhort. He would lead and rebuke. And finally, he would suffer and die for them and for us. His last words to them as they came down from the mountain were, "Shh, tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised." That's where we come in. Amen.